Good morning, church. How are you doing? You good? Good, good. I want to first say a word of thanks for Dr. Bell for finishing my sermon this morning. I didn't know how I was going to end, so now that I have an ending, that'll be very helpful. Just kidding. I know where I was ending. I've already preached it this morning. Okay. We are in a kind of in-between moment here in the church this Sunday. We had Thanksgiving last week, a sermon looking at that topic, and I hope you were able to spend some time with those who you love, remembering all the blessings that God has in your life. And next week, we will begin, as James has already mentioned, the season of Advent, which in the church calendar are the four Sundays before Christmas Day, which means this year the calendar has given us a Sunday in between Thanksgiving and before Advent begins. We're kind of in an in-between space. And this season, regardless of where we are, it kind of has a lot of celebrations in it. You got the holidays, you got Thanksgiving, you got Christmas, you got college football playoffs, which is a wonderful time. You got time off of school or work. You have special concerts, the lights all around, a lot of things to be celebrating right now. But on the other hand, it's not always a season of celebration for everyone. And if that's the season you're going through, oftentimes in this space, when everybody else is celebrating, you feel the valley even more acutely. And we go through this in our life as Christians. We have mountaintop experiences, and we have experiences in the valley. And it's why we say before we pray, whether you have a celebration or a concern, whether you're on the mountaintop or in the valley, we want to be in prayer for you. And we believe that just like Sundays are little mini resurrection celebrations, we also have opportunities for them to be mini mountaintops where we can experience the glory of God and come into the presence of Jesus. And so this morning I want to read a story about being on a mountaintop. It's the story of the Transfiguration. And I got to be honest with you, it's always seemed like kind of a bizarre story to me. And for a long time, I really didn't understand it at all. But the more I've studied, the more I've grown, the more I've come to love this passage of the Transfiguration. It comes to us from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 17, verses 1 through 9. Out of reverence for the Gospel, I'm going to invite you to stand as you are able. Hear now the story of the Transfiguration. After 6 days, Jesus took with him Peter, James, and John, the brother of James, and led them up a high mountain by themselves. There he was transfigured before them. His face shone like the sun. His clothes became as white as light. And just then there appeared before them Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. Peter said to Jesus, "Lord, it is good for us to be here. If you wish, I will put up 3 shelters, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah." And while he was still speaking, a bright cloud covered them. And a voice from the cloud said, "This is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. Listen to him." When the disciples heard this, they fell face down on the ground, terrified. But Jesus came and touched them. "Get up," he said, "don't be afraid." When they looked up, they saw no one except Jesus. And as they were coming down the mountain, Jesus instructed them, "Don't tell anyone what you have seen until the Son of Man has been raised from the dead." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. You may be seated. Would you pray with me? God, reveal yourself to us here in this space. May we know that you are with us so that we can be transformed and walk down from the mountain to share your love with others. Amen. Some moments in life you know are significant as you are going through them. Other moments in life might feel ordinary, but when you look back on them, you identify them as some of the most significant times in your life. And I always wonder what it must have been like to be a disciple where every single day your ordinary moments were extraordinary because you're walking with Jesus. I mean, how do you differentiate? It would be a lot to take in. And right before this experience on a mountaintop, Jesus is talking with his disciples in what must have felt like an ordinary moment at the time, but becomes a very poignant moment in the story. Jesus tells his disciples that he's going to go to the cross. It's the first time he's predicted his death. And so the disciples see him talking about the most human experience that any of us can go through, death. And so they see Jesus as fully human. But at the same time, Jesus said the Son of Man is going to the cross. So he's fully divine. And so this mystery of the ordinary meeting the extraordinary sets up this experience that we see at the Transfiguration, where Jesus goes up on a mountaintop and he brings with him his three closest followers, Peter, James, and John. These are the three who will go with him to pray when he goes apart in the Garden of Gethsemane. They're his closest followers. And they go up on the mountain, and the scriptures tell us that he was transfigured. The Greek word is metamorphomai, and I'm trying to be like James teaching you some Greek, Bill teaching you Hebrew. You got all kinds of words this morning. But it means metamorphosis, to be transformed. So no longer are the disciples just looking at this person that they know, who they know is about to go to his death. Instead, they see the fullness of the glory of God before them. And then, all of a sudden, Moses and Elijah appear. Now, to some of us, we're reading a Bible story. You hear about two other characters that you're vaguely familiar with, and you're like, cool, two more people in the story, got it. But if you were Peter, James, or John, or if you were a Jewish person hearing this story, that would have been incredible. Those are the two men that represent the entirety of the Jewish faith. Moses representing the law, Elijah representing the prophets. And so Jesus here is seen not only as a contemporary of the most important people in their faith, but he is even greater than them. Additionally, for those Jewish people listening to the story, for those living through it, they would have been remembering the promises of their faith. God had promised that there would be a leader like Moses that he would raise up. The promise comes from Deuteronomy chapter 18. It was one of the core promises that the Jewish people were looking for, this new leader. And they would be like Moses. And so like Moses, Jesus goes up on a mountain here. Like Moses, his face shined like the sun. His clothes lit up, just like Moses after he had encountered God on the mountaintop. Like Moses on the mountain, they were surrounded by this cloud. Here is Jesus fulfilling the expectation of an age with Moses. And then Elijah was there as well. And if you know your Old Testament prophets, which I know you're a smart bunch, you know your Old Testament prophets, you would know Malachi chapter 4, which says that God would send Elijah back before the day of the Lord would come. So Jesus is fulfilling the expectations of the law and of the prophets. The disciples would be remembering all of this in this encounter on the mountaintop. But they would also remember their own journey. They would remember Jesus' baptism and the voice from God saying the exact same thing that he said on the mountain here, that this is my son with whom I'm well pleased. They would be remembering how Jesus oftentimes preached from the mountaintop. That's where we get the Sermon on the Mount. And so for this brief moment in their life, on the mountaintop, they would see their faith and their past, but also the prediction that Jesus makes about their future, all overlapping in one single moment. See, our time on the mountaintop oftentimes gives us perspective to understand the other times in our life, both past and present, and our entire faith. Have you ever hiked up a mountain where you've been able to get great perspective of the world around us? You can see everything in the glory of God's creation. You've been on hikes before, right? Nobody's nodding. Y'all need to go on a hike. A few weeks ago, I had a chance to officiate a wedding in North Georgia. And so Emily and my wife and I had a chance to get away for the weekend, and we went up there. And Saturday morning, we woke up early so we could go on a hike to Brasstown Bald, the highest point in Georgia. If you didn't know that, you did learn something in church this morning. The highest point in Georgia, Brasstown Bald, which is a great hike because most of the hike, you just drive up the mountain. Very easy. You do walk a little bit at the end, so you feel good about yourself, the best of both worlds. So we get to the top of this mountain, and there are all kinds of constructed overlooks because the scenery is just amazing. And just like the disciples that day on the mountaintop, we were surrounded by a cloud, and we couldn't see anything. As far as the eye could see, just mist. We took a selfie. It was just like a gray wall was behind us. Unfortunately, we didn't have the chance to wait around for the cloud to burn away. It turns out that couples getting married don't want the officiant showing up late in hiking clothes. But if we had stayed, the view would have been unbelievable because there's nothing quite like seeing God's creation. It's no surprise that when we read throughout Scripture, God speaks to God's people on the mountaintop. It's no surprise that we can use this image as a metaphor for understanding our journey of faith. Mountaintops provide us with perspective to see and understand the rest of our faith journey. The disciples understand their own journey better because of this experience. They understand Jesus' baptism, the lessons that he taught on the mountain. Any time that we encounter the presence of God, we understand our story better. It's like the person who was unconditionally loved by their parents. After they encounter Jesus, they understand the true nature of unconditional love. The person who is a devout gardener, after they encounter Jesus, understands how God cares for all creation better after they have encountered Jesus. We have these cherished moments of life, whether they are births of children or grandchildren, graduations, weddings or holidays, deep, meaningful relationships. They all mean more after we've had experiences with Jesus. And we need these mountaintop moments so we can understand the totality of our life and our faith and our future. But that's not always the place we find ourselves. Other times we are in the valley. And just like we heard in the children's moment, God is still with us, but we don't always have that perspective. We don't have the same perspective when we're in the valley because of broken relationships or the loss of a loved one, or painful, broken promises, the times that make us ask why. The valley has a very different perspective that we have to climb to get out of. So when we're on the mountaintop, when we have the chance to get that perspective, it's important to look around to see the way that God's grace has echoed in every season of your life. Are there prayers that you can learn on the mountaintop? Are there scripture passages that we can memorize when times are good? Are there people who have walked along the journey with us so that when we come down from the mountain, when we're going through the valley, we can remember that God is with us? The Christian life is full of these mountains and valleys, times when we can gain perspective. They're simple moments when we have real encounters with Jesus. And maybe it is like Peter, James, and John, who can see the light of God, hear a voice from God. But maybe it's quiet. Maybe it's at home in a devotional time. Maybe it's in a small group or in the classroom or in the boardroom. Maybe it's serving out in the community in Adamsville or in Sutton Middle School. We can encounter God anywhere if we have the eyes to see and the ears to hear. And these mountaintop moments can be the light when times are dark. They can be the anchor when we are in the midst of a storm. But the mountaintop moments can also be a little bit terrifying. That's how the disciples, Peter, James, and John, that's how they experienced it. They fell on their face. They were so scared. The encounter that we have with God is glorious, but can be a little bit scary. Why? Because a real experience with God is probably going to change you. It's probably going to call you to something else. Probably going to push you a little bit outside of your comfort zone. And sometimes we just don't want to leave that moment because it's good. We don't want to leave the mountaintop. And that's why I think Peter might have said, Lord, I'll build three shelters right here. And we can just keep on praising God. That's an appropriate way to respond, to honor God in the moment where you see something glorious. But we can't just stay in that moment. We do have to come down from the mountain. Really, that kind of reminded me of being at home, and when I tell the kids it's bedtime, and all of a sudden they have one extra task to do. Oh, Dad, I just have to draw you one more picture. Or all of a sudden the chores, they're like, oh, I just need to clean up a little bit more. We like to prolong the good and the fun moments. But life has to go on. In our life as disciples, we move from mountaintop to mountaintop. And hopefully in those moments, we are transformed. And it's why the Apostle Paul writes in Romans chapter 12, verse 2, that we should be transformed by the renewing of our mind. Because all of our relationships change who we are, how we speak, how we interact with others. And so our relationship, our encounters with Jesus should transform the way we speak with other people. It should move us from judgment to mercy. It should move us from disdain to kindness. It should move us from division to unity. Our relationship with Christ should change who we are. This passage is about encountering the glory of God. It reminds us of what we do when we encounter Jesus. But those disciples did have to come down from the mountain, go back to their old routine, enter into new routines, but they never forgot their experience with Jesus. And so as we go into a season like Advent, as we prepare our hearts for Christmas, I pray that you do have some kind of mountaintop experience along the way, even if it's a mini mountaintop experience. I pray that you can experience God's goodness. Maybe you do so by reading an Advent devotional by yourself or with your family or friends. Maybe you listen to Christmas music, like the Christmas album that we just put out last year here at Northside, so you can constantly be renewing your mind. And may you see how God has been at work in your life. May you encounter that glory of God, and may you come down from the mountaintop transformed, ready to live different because of what Jesus has done for you. Would you pray with me? God, I thank you for the blessings that we have. Thank you for the way that you have been at work in our life, the way you have been at work in the world for years and years, and how you bring us to the mountaintop to show us your glory, but you are still with us when we go down into the valley. So in this season of anticipation, in this season in between, give us eyes to see the way you are at work around us. Give us ears to hear the needs that are present, and help us to be a new people, to be your people, preparing to go out into the world to shine a light where it's needed. Amen.